My subject this morning is reprobation asserted. Reprobation asserted. You'll find my text in just a minute in John chapter 10. Most religious people have never heard the word reprobation, let alone a sermon on the subject. But reprobation is clearly taught in Holy Scripture. And before I'm done this morning, I hope you will see that it is taught in such a way in Scripture that it ought to fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving to our God. Susan Grant has borrowed a book from me just recently, Arthur Pink's Sovereignty of God. It is, in my opinion, as I said to her, the single most significant book written in the English language in the 20th century. Outstanding. It was written back in the late 1930s, I think, when Pink first published the book. Actually, Harrington published it. And after Harrington let the copyrights run out, and many, many years later, Banner of Truth in England, a company that was established specifically for the purpose of publishing or reprinting Puritan works, sovereign grace works, works promoting God's sovereignty and election and predestination and so on. Banner of Truth was established in, I think, 1958. And then in about 1970, maybe a little later, they reprinted Pink's Sovereignty of God. And they took one chapter out. Took one chapter out because it was contrary to their doctrine. Now, it's perfectly all right to reprint things. I tell folks all the time, you can reprint anything I want to and leave out chapters or leave out portions if you want to. That's fine. But not in order to change the doctrine. That's deceitful and it's dishonest. Men don't like to hear about reprobation. It is contrary to every religious statement by denominations and churches in the world, with few exceptions. Election is God's choice of some to eternal salvation in Christ. Reprobation is God passing by, not choosing others. Predestination is God's sovereign, eternal purpose of grace toward His elect. Reprobation is God's passing by others, leaving others to themselves. Salvation is God's mighty, wondrous works, His operations of grace in us, for us, and upon us, His chosen. Reprobation is God abandoning others to themselves. Election is God loving Jacob and all the sons and daughters of Jacob. Reprobation is God hating Esau and all the children of Esau. Eternal life is God refusing to leave you alone. Oh, how you ought to thank God with every breath of your body, with every fiber of your being, that He did not leave you alone. Because reprobation is God leaving you alone. Salvation is God not leaving you to your will, your choice, and your way. Had God left you to your will, your choice, and your way, you'd be in hell. If God leaves you to your will, your choice, your way, you're as good as in hell now. That's what reprobation is. Reprobation is God letting men have what they want. Reprobation is God leading men and women to their will, their choice, their way. Folks all the time fuss and argue and raise sin because we deny and denounce the hideous, ridiculous teaching of man having a free will. And they want to cherish their will and they worship their will. Don't take from me my will. If God leads you to your will, you're going to hell. Reprobation is God leading men to their will. Reprobation asserted. That's my subject. Here's my text. John chapter 10 and verse 26. John chapter 10 and verse 26. As many times as I have referred to this text of Scripture in my preaching and writing, I was astounded last week when Brother Lindsay informed me I'd never preached on it. I said, "You're mistaken." He said, no, you passed by it when you did the exposition of John. And it's not in your other notes. And I thought, well, I've got it somewhere. And it was nowhere to be found. But that's not all. I spent a good bit of time looking for various things while studying, preparing this message this week. And I can't find a sermon on John 10:26 by anybody anywhere in history. I'm not saying nobody ever preached on it. I just can't find it. In fact, I know that there was one fellow who preached on it, Solomon Stoddard, who was Jonathan Edwards' grandfather in the middle 1600s in New England, preached a sermon from this text. But that's all I know about it. He just preached it. So don't be surprised if you find little said concerning it. But as you read the text, it will be obvious why. John 10, verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now read the words exactly as they stand in the book. Don't add anything to them. Don't take anything away from them. Read them exactly as they stand in the book. And you cannot misunderstand them. You cannot misunderstand them. Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Here is reprobation asserted by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Savior there is for sinners throughout the world, the friend of publicans and sinners. He it is who asserts reprobation plainly and distinctly. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. What unspeakably solemn words these are. The Lord Jesus is the only man who ever walked on this earth who knew and knows who the elect are and who the reprobate are. He's the only one. Men think they know. What fools we are to think such. Men think they know. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. He alone knows who the sheep are and who the goats are. He alone is the man who walked on this earth with full knowledge of who are his wheat and who are the tares sown by Satan in this world. He alone knows who God's elect are and who the reprobate are. And he asserts in the plainest terms possible that these Jews who cavil at his doctrine, these Jews who would not hear his word, these Jews who finally nailed him to the cursed tree were reprobate. They were men who were cast off by God and left to themselves. What solemn words they are. They willfully stopped their ears. They willfully they put the fingers in the ears and said, "God, shut up! Shut up! We won't hear you." And God said, "All right, I'll shut up. You don't have to hear me. You believe not, because you're not of my sheep." The force of our Lord's words is definite and it's clear. And yet preachers and theologians and commentators in their unbelief have done their very best to take away the meaning of the words, to cut this along with other passages relating to it out of the Word of God altogether. They're ignored altogether. They're ignored altogether. And when they have to read them, they read them like this. Because ye are not of my sheep, ye believe not. That's not what the text says. The text says you believe not because you're not of my sheep. Several years ago, I listened to a sermon preached by Mr. Falwell, who used to live in Lynchburg, Virginia. And most of you don't know this, Mr. Falwell, that rank Arminian who denied the faith of the gospel, at one time professed to believe exactly what we do. He was preaching from Acts 13:48, and every single time he quoted or read Acts 13:48, this is how he did it. He said, as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. And that's not what the text says at all. Acts 13:48 says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Well, what's the difference? The one makes God's election to hinge on your belief. The other makes your belief to hinge on God's election. The same is true here. These Jews, our Savior said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. To read it the other way around, because you believe not, you're not of my sheep, is to make you being his sheep dependent on your believing. But the scriptures make your believing dependent on you being his sheep. You see, men always turn things around when it comes to God. They always turn the things of God upside down, especially lost religious men. When men come to something in the Word of God that doesn't fit their system, doesn't fit their tradition, something they don't like, something that is contrary to a man's high opinion of himself. Instead of bowing to the Word of God, they either ignore it, or they pretend it doesn't exist, or they misread it and misinterpret it deliberately. I said deliberately. Deliberately. It's not because they don't know any better. You can't read John 10:26 and read it to say, because you believe not, you're not of my sheep. The text reads exactly as God the Holy Spirit intended it to read, exactly as God the Son stated it. Ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. Here our Lord Jesus not only charges these very religious, very devoted Jews with unbelief, but he tells them why faith had not been given them. Why faith was withheld from them. They were not numbered among God's favored people called his elect. Rather, they were numbered among the reprobate. They were not numbered among the sons of Jacob, but numbered among the sons of Esau. Now here's the first thing I want you to understand. Understand this. Faith in Christ does not make you God's child. Faith in Christ does not make you one of God's elect. Faith in Christ does not make you one of God's sheep. Faith in Christ does not give you life. Faith in Christ does not inscribe your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Faith in Christ does not have anything to do with the accomplishment of your redemption and salvation. But Brother Don, don't you think faith is necessary? What I think doesn't matter a hill of beans. Yes, faith is necessary. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But faith is the evidence. Faith is the fruit. Faith is the result, not the cause of anything. Did you get that? Faith is the evidence. Faith is the fruit, not the cause of anything relating to our salvation. Faith is the result of God choosing you. Faith is the result of Christ dying for you. Faith is the result of God the Holy Spirit giving you life. Faith is the fruit, the evidence of being born again. Faith is the fruit, the evidence that your name was written in the book of life. Let's see if that's the case. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I know people like to talk about evidences. Evidences. And I know that God's people are made new creatures in Christ. If God gives you life and faith in Christ, He gives you a new will and a new nature. I know that God's people live in this world for His glory and seek to honor Him. But when you start talking about your evidences, you need to shut up. When you start thinking about your evidences, now I know I'm a child of God because I know I'm a child of God because, well, I remember back yonder when it happened. If you've got to go back to yesterday to give yourself some evidence that you're born of God, you don't know God. You don't know God. I know I'm a child of God because I don't do things I used to do. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You might hide it and not do things outwardly, but everything you ever did as a rebel teenage boy, Bill Raleigh, you still do. Everything. Everything. And when you get so old, you can't do the things you used to do when you were a boy. You're still doing them. It's all here and here. Now talk about your evidences. Come on! Bring your evidences forward. I've got one. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Not an evidence. The evidence of things not seen. I know that I am chosen of God. I know that I've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. I know that I've been born again by God the Holy Spirit. I know that I have life in Christ Jesus. I know that I am one of God's chosen, redeemed, blood-bought, called, regenerate children because I believe Christ. That's all. That's all. That's all. Sometimes I feel good about it. God forgive me. I get to looking at myself and thinking I'm pretty good. Sometimes I feel close to the Master. But feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. I trust the written Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. God said, He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Oscar Bailey, I believe on the Son of God, I have everlasting life. That's it. All right. Look at John chapter 8 now. Our Master says in our text, but ye believe not because you're not of my sheep, as I said unto you. What's he talking about? What's he referring to? Where did he ever say this to them before? Where did he ever tell them, you're not in my sheep? Here in John chapter 8, in verse 48, we're told how that they rejected his word and rejected his message and rejected him, declaring him to be a worthless Samaritan, telling one another and saying, announcing publicly, this man's possessed of a devil. That's what they did in verse 48. They said, that Alan Miller, these folks, he's instructing. Here is God the Son in human flesh. The Word made flesh, dwelling among us. God the Word, preaching the Word to these folks. And they said, that man's a worthless Samaritan. He's a half-breed mongrel. He's a half-breed mongrel. He's a worthless, idolatrous Samaritan. He's possessed of a devil. He's God Almighty in the flesh. He's possessed of a devil. Now, look what our Master says about them in verse 42, John chapter 8. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why don't you understand what I'm telling you? Why don't you understand my doctrine? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. And again in verse 47, our Lord tells them that they believe not because not his sheep. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. All right. Now let's look more closely at the text. Now I want to do three things. First, I want you to see our Lord's words in verse 26 in the context. See them in the context. If you want to understand anything in this book, be honest enough to read it in its context. Read the scriptures in the context. You'll find out what they mean. Number two, I want to show you plainly what our Lord's meaning is when he says, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. And then third, I want you to see reasons to give praise to God and thanksgiving for this assertion of reprobation. All right, first back up to verse 19. Let's read the context. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others took the opposite side. They said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Here are folks who defended him who didn't know him, and folks who called him a devil who didn't know him. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. I'll give you an assignment. Ron, go home and find me where God ordered that. Feast of the dedication. Where did God ever tell him to do that? Where did he ever tell him to do that? It's not written anywhere. This was something the Jews invented after the rebuilding of Solomon's temple, after the Babylonian captivity, and as Brother Mark pointed out this morning, they didn't have any trouble ignoring what God told them to do. The law of the servant going out free, they ignored that. The year of Jubilee, the law requirement, they ignored that. Didn't have any trouble at all, because it didn't quite fit with their pocketbooks. It was going to cost them something. There's no record of them ever observing those things. But when it comes to their traditions, that's another story. They invented this tradition to observe once every year this feast of dedication, and that was their high day. It was in the feast of dedication, and the Jews walked in the temple, or Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What was it he said to that Samaritan woman? I am he. That's pretty plain. That's pretty plain. What was it he said in John chapter 8? He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He said, before Abraham was, I am, declaring himself to be God. And they understood his words, and they testified of themselves, we are going to stone you to death because you, being a man, make yourself God. They were just finding an excuse for their unbelief. He said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you, and you believe not. Now watch this. The works that I do in my Father's name, you just try to ignore that. They bear witness of me. Now there are lots of folks these days who claim to have supernatural apostolic powers. And we understand by the writings of Joel and the prophets in the Old Testament that when Messiah came, he would come with supernatural powers. And his messengers would be identified as men who have indeed supernatural powers given them from heaven by God the Holy Ghost upon them, called gifts of the Spirit. But these fellows today are fake healers. F-A-K-E healers. They're demonic. And 2 Thessalonians 2 makes it very plain, they are the messengers of Antichrist, not the messengers of Christ. You mean, Brother Don, all these Pentecostal whoopee folks are demonic? Could I be any plainer? Of course they are. Of course they are. Just, that don't go what I say. But our Lord comes here, and he said, the works that I do, they bear witness of me. I said, I am. I said, I am the eternal Jehovah. I said, I am God who saves. I said, I am he that was to come. I am that one whom the scripture spoke of throughout the ages when God gave his word only to Israel by his prophets. Is I am he. And here's evidence. Where are you going to find a man who can take a few fishes and a couple of pieces of bread and just keep feeding folks until they've had all they want? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 20,000 at least. 5,000 men. Just keep feeding them until they've had all they want. Well, Elisha did that. He caused the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal to continue. Okay, all right, I'll give you that. He's God's prophet. Where are you going to find a man who raises the dead publicly with witnesses standing around, who knew the one dead was dead and raises the dead with nothing but his word? Nothing but his word. Three times. Now you want to know, why don't you tell us plainly who you are? No, they just would not and could not hear his word. There was a division among them. A division among them. Religious people standing around fighting one another, divided up over the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither group ever believed. Neither group believed God, but they had to contend for something. And that's the way religious folks are. Contentious. Not contending for the faith, just contentious. There was a division among them because of the Savior's doctrine. Because he plainly asserted that he is the good shepherd. He plainly asserted that he died specifically for his sheep. He plainly asserted God's sovereign mercy in giving those sheep to him. He plainly asserted the irresistible power of his grace in bringing those sheep to him. And for those things, the Jews were offended. Now hear what your pastor's telling you. The gospel of God is still an offense. The cross of Jesus Christ is still an offense. Don't be surprised when folks are offended. Don't be surprised if folks get mad at you because you give them this message on tape or a CD or something. Don't be surprised if folks get mad at you because you hand them on a bulletin and say, come go to church with us. And they read that and said, I wouldn't think about going down there worshiping God like that. They're just telling you what you ought to expect. Offense comes between mother and daughter and father and son and husband and wife and neighbor and friend because of the gospel. Blessed are you when all men shall speak evil of you and persecute you for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Well, folks, if you work hard, folks will persecute you for it. No, they'll make you the boss. If you pay your bills, folks will persecute you for it. No, they'll give you good credit. If you're honest in business, folks will persecute you for it. No, they'll give you good credit at Better Business Bureau. Well, what's he talking about? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Persecuted for the gospel of God's righteousness in Christ Jesus. For declaring to men they have no righteousness. And the only righteousness there is before God is the righteousness of Christ. Now, that'll get their birds up. That'll get them going. All you've got to do is declare to men who and what they are before God Almighty and their utter helplessness and utter dependence upon God Almighty, and you're in for a battle. You're in for a battle. All right, Leo. I told you plainly, but you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, those works I came here to do as Jehovah's servant, they bear witness of me. Verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I call and they hear. I teach and they believe. My sheep do. I go somewhere and have for the last 40 years preaching the gospel of God's grace almost every week. I preach the gospel wherever I go. What I preach here is what I preach everywhere I go. I prepared this message to preach to you here this morning. I preached it when I was up in Princeton or something similar to it just the other day. I preach the same thing here as I do anywhere else. And folks get upset. Oh, they get upset. Folks, man, people get mad. But not God's people. Not God's people. God's people just, man, wasn't that wonderful? Wasn't that good? Did you ever hear anything like that? First time to hear it. First time to hear it. Whew! I never heard any preaching like that in my life. I never heard any doctrine like that in my life. They hear it and rejoice in it. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them. I love them. I approve of them. I accepted them. I ordained them to life eternal. And they follow me. My word, my doctrine, my example. My spirit, my will, my instruction. And I give unto them eternal life. I give eternal life to them. And they shall never perish. They shall never perish. How come? How come? Because I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Now, the Lord Jesus speaks here of this division. And then he speaks of his sheep. His sheep. He said, these are my sheep. My sheep. What a good name. What a good name. Every time I get to hearing a preacher talk about some difficulty with church folks, and sometimes they do. They oughtn't to, but they sometimes do. I'll say to them, well, you know why God calls them sheep? You know why God calls them sheep? Because they're dirty, and they're helpless, and they stink, and they don't have the ability to do anything except stray. They can't run fast enough to get away from a foe. Something's going to attack them, they can't get away from it. And they can't defend themselves against anything. They're called sheep for a good reason. Because they need a shepherd. And if you're not prepared to shepherd the sheep, don't pretend to be. They're called shepherds, sheep for a good reason. And that's certainly characteristic of God's sheep. God's sheep acknowledge that. But in this particular place, our Lord Jesus is talking about his sheep in such a special, unique way. I think he must here distinctly be referring to one specific thing about sheep. One specific thing about sheep. The sheep are utterly, 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 totally, totally, completely dependent on the shepherd. My sheep, these are my sheep, and they're dependent on me for everything. So it is with God's elect. They're dependent on Christ for everything. Alan Kibbe, if you're his, you depend on him for all instruction, all teaching, all guidance, all direction, all strength, all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, all redemption, all acceptance with God, all your salvation, if you're His sheep. Same's true of your pastor, if I'm His sheep. If I'm His sheep. Other folks don't. Other folks have got something. Other folks have got something else to lean on. Other folks have got some other crutch. Other folks have got some other comfort. Other folks have got some other strength. Other folks have got some other righteousness. Other folks have got some other intercessor. Other folks have got some other way to be accepted with God. But the sheep, they're totally dependent on the shepherd. Are you? Are you? God's sheep are. Totally dependent on Him. The sheep are identified here as a special people. I sometimes used to hear folks say, well, you think you're something special. And I'd say, oh, no, that's got nothing to do with it. Well, I was wrong. I am something special. Ask God. This is what God says about all His elect. He said, you're honorable. I made you so. You're precious. I made you so. Because you were a special people to me, God said, I did thus and so for you. You're His peculiar people. These sheep, the Lord Jesus says, these are my sheep. My personal, peculiar property. My possession. My sheep, because I created them for me. The Lord God says to Jacob, fear not, O Jacob, for I have created thee for myself. God in heaven created me just for Him. I've created you. Fear not, O Jacob, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. Oh, my sheep. My sheep. These are His special property. The objects of His intense, unfailing care. My sheep. He bought us with His precious blood. He owns us as His. He sought us out, found us, called us by His grace, gave us eternal life, calls us to follow Him, lays us on His shoulders, and says, they'll never, never, never be lost. They're my sheep. They'll never perish, because no man can pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, look at our immediate text. Verse 26. I want you to see exactly what this means. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. What do those words mean? Does the Lord Jesus Christ speak these awful words to you? Let's see. These words tell us clearly that in this world there are sheep and goats. In this room there are sheep and goats. In your household there are sheep and goats. Sheep will never become goats. Goats will never become sheep. These words clearly teach us that there are reprobates as well as elect sinners among Adam's fallen sons and daughters. These words clearly declare what the Holy Spirit teaches us in Romans chapter 9. There are in this world vessels of mercy, afore prepared to glory, and vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. There are Jacobs who are loved of God and Esau's who are hated of God. And these things are not accidental. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Our Lord Jesus The Lord God tells us is laid in Zion as a sure foundation stone. And we're built upon that foundation stone. And we, David, by faith, built on that foundation stone. But he's also a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, over which unbelievers stumble and go to hell. He is the stone of stumbling, the rock of offense, over which unbelievers stumble and go to hell. And this is by God's purpose. 1 Peter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But, the sentence continues, unto them which be disobedient, he's the stone of stumbling, which the builders disallowed. The same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Watch this now. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. In other words, if you persist in your rebellion and unbelief, you continue to stick your fingers in your ears and scream at God, shut up, I won't hear you, and God cast you into hell, your unbelief will in no way nullify the promise and purpose of God. God's purpose still stands. This is whereunto they were appointed. Look at Jude, verse 4. Jude, verse 4. You remember when Isaiah saw the Lord in his glory, and our Lord Jesus steps forth as the surety and said, Lo, here am I, send me. And he said, How long shall I preach? And God answered his prophet, saying, Until they become fat, and having eyes they see not, and having ears they hear not, lest they should believe and I should heal them. And our Lord Jesus tells us that's exactly what happened in John chapter 12. All right, look here at Jude 4. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, before of old ordained to this condemnation. What does this mean? You believe not because you're not of my sheep. This is exactly what it means. I never loved you. I never knew you. I never gave any regard to you. I never chose you as my own. I never entered into a covenant on your behalf. I am not your surety. I did not redeem you. I didn't come here to save you. I am not seeking you. I never prayed for you. I never called you. I've set the world in your heart. Turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Rex, I was up late one night when Will was just a baby. I don't remember the occasion. I probably stopped studying and I was reading this third chapter of Ecclesiastes. And I came across a statement by the wisest man who had ever lived in his day, Solomon. This startled me. I sat straight up. It startled me. Here's the statement. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I was shocked. And I immediately began to cry out to God for my two grandchildren. Oh, God, please don't set the world in their heart. And I began to cry out to God for you and your sons and daughters. God, please, don't set the world in their heart. Don't set the world in their heart. Don't set the world in their heart. The Master says, you believe not because I've set the world in your heart. You believe not because I have blinded your eyes and you cannot see. You believe not because I've hardened your heart and you cannot believe. You believe not because I have left you to yourself. Because I have abandoned you to your will, your way, your choice. Years ago, I heard Ralph Barnard preaching a message. And he, the title of the message was Watching Men Die. And he is telling about a meeting he had in Detroit, Michigan in the early 50s. One of those citywide campaigns. They were meeting in a big auditorium, hundreds of people there. And he preached the gospel. And when he got done preaching, there was, as I was singing a closing hymn, he looked out in the congregation about halfway back. There was a young lady, 20, 25, 30 years old. And he said, I don't know why the Lord or the devil or somebody told me to go back there and speak to her. So I walked back there and spoke to her. And I said to her, young lady, trust the Lord. And he said she screamed to the top of her voice. And everybody in that congregation got dead silent. Let me alone. Let me alone. For Christ's sake, preacher, leave me alone. And he said, honey, for Christ's sake, I'll leave you alone. And went back to the platform and dismissed the congregation. And she got in her car and started wherever she was going. Got two blocks away, and God took her out of this world. To be reprobate is for God to give you to yourself. To abandon you to you. Oh, God, I thank you that you did not leave me to myself. I thank you for not leaving me to my will, my choice, and my way. And let all who know him do the same. This is the last thing. Read the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and you'll read about these people who are not of his sheep, who believe not because they're not of his sheep. And this is what God says to them. Because they receive not the love of the truth, I'll send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And in that context, these have got to be the sweetest, most joyful words in all the world. But we're bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I just caught Susan's eye. I'm bound to give thanks to God for you. He didn't leave you there. You got that? You got that? If God had left you alone, you'd be either in hell or as sure for hell as if you were there right now. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I give unto them eternal life. And they follow me. And they shall never perish. Amen.